둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
Got what? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from today, please hit the subscribe button. And if you're able to rate and review, that'd be a big help as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Emily Haynes of the band Metric. She released a solo record last year, but the band is already prepping for a new album. We get to talk about their just-released documentary, playing the album Fantasies in Full, and how she would like to do the same with Live It Out. It's also sort of the 20th anniversary of the band, so there's a lot of talk about what was going on with them in 1998, and of course, what we can expect from the brand-new record she promises, guitars. It's Kyle Meredith with Metric.
Kyle, how are you?
I'm great. Excited to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time.
Me too. Likewise.
We're excited you guys are going to be in Louisville next week. And I know there's lots to talk about. Let's start out because I just noticed that you all just released a concert film, Dreams So Real. I saw the trailer. It looks beautiful. What's the story here?
Thank you. Well, that was the culmination of many years of work, but we ended on our last album cycle doing an arena tour of Canada. We had Death Cab for Cutie supporting us, and we worked with some of the top stage designers and artists. We've kind of, you know, dream team collection of people to create this concert experience, which we then had the great good fortune of turning into a film. I think it was like 30 cameras and like dollies and all this stuff. But the whole idea behind it was to put a spotlight on the crew that supports us on all these tours. So the film begins with each band member interviewing, I think it's like 10 people in total that we're traveling with, interviewing them about what their day looks like, the skill that goes into their job, and kind of really trying to illuminate for the audience what goes into every Metric concert and how much love, you know, we're all pouring into it, not just from the band, but from our crew. So it had a theatrical release across the U.S. and Canada, and was really well received. It was kind of an epic Yeah, I'm so glad that you saw that it's happening.
But there's sort of an idea about pulling back that curtain, the mystique of rock and roll. It sort of kind of pushes that to the side, right?
Yeah, or more like, I suppose, if anything, to me, it makes it more romantic, you know, like, as opposed to the idea that it's revealed, you know, the nuts and bolts and that it's somehow underwhelming. To me, it's actually the thing that gives me the most sense of pride and excitement is like, wow, this is a group of people who are really committed to what they do, and that this is more than just like trying to be famous or trying to be in front of people. It's like we've all dedicated ourselves to the belief in that music really can have an impact, and that includes all the people that we work with. I hope it comes across in the film, and I hope it comes across in, you know, from the band in general, right?
I know one of the other big cool things that you're doing this year, too, you're playing Fantasies from front to back on a show. Why this one? Because it's not exactly the anniversary year for it.
True. Yeah, well, this just happened this past weekend, actually. I'm so glad that you're bringing it up because it was epic. We were offered this festival in Toronto to headline. It's a festival called Arts and Crafts, it's called Field Trip, but it was started by Arts and Crafts, which is a label that our dear friends who put out Broken Social Scene and Fife, and it's very much part of this like whole community that we've been a part of for many years. So they asked us to headline, and we said yes. It was us on the Saturday and Yeah Yeah Yeahs on the Sunday as the headliners, and someone, I can't remember if it was someone from our team or someone from their side said, would you consider doing Fantasies? And we haven't done that yet. You know, a lot of bands, I think it's a great idea where you have a band perform one of their albums, especially an artist like us where it's like 7 records in. On our new record, it'll be 7. So yeah, we did it, and it was a total trip. I felt like I was time traveling to 2009. but it was really cool to listen to that because we still, you know, we play a lot of those songs regularly, but to listen to it really as a piece of you know, our personal history and for our fans and people who are connected to the band. I started the show by just saying, like, take a moment and think about where you were at that time. Who were you in love with? What were you doing? What were you working on? What was important to you? It was beautiful. I really want to do it again. Like, now I kind of want to do it. I'd love to do it with Live It Out because that one's the most rock. But just to, like, take it all the way. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good thing to do.
That's cool. That album, you know, you'd been sort of a band for about 10 years at that point, and then to have this humongous explosion, you know, with those singles, you have an album like that. Does it feel like, in a way, that every other album is constantly compared to it?
I think we came out of that. Like, it's an excellent point and question. But I think for two reasons. One, the fact that we've been such a, you know, grassroots band from the beginning. I think there's really no substitute for, like, literally going from 20 people to 20,000. It's over a decade. It's real, you know. So even the great thrill of having that album connect with a wider audience, that was a moment for us. But we've always known that we're in it for life with each other. So, you know, we're less likely to like sail into the sun like Icarus. But it was really cool. It was really cool for sure. But then Synthetica definitely got compared to Fantasies, the album that came afterwards. But then I feel like as of that moment, we just established ourselves again, you know, for the people who care for who we are. We're not really trying. We know what we're not, you know, like Metric's not a mainstream band, and we're happy to share the stage with lots of different artists who are and exist where we exist. But I feel like, you know, obviously for you as well, because you're having this conversation with me today, but like for the people who get it and enjoy it, it's a really special thing. And we just kind of keep on keeping on. So, you know, we've had a lot of highs and a lot of lows. So it's sort of a simulation of the average lifespan, I think is what Metric is. We're just kind of beside people as they go through life.
Now, as far as that not being an anniversary for the album, do you look at this is sort of the 20th anniversary of the band, as the early version, as I read anyway, started in 98. Do you look at it like that?
Well, it's funny because, like, when I think about my life, I think about, yeah, the day I met Jimmy Shaw, that was the beginning of this whole thing. And that was in 98. And we then, you know, went to New York and went to England and went to LA and traveled everywhere there and in between over the past two decades with Josh and Jules. So yeah, I definitely do see that as the beginning. And it's now just kind of like incredible to me, the fact that we've been able to craft this into a life for all of us and, you know, contribute something of value, I hope, to the landscape of music, you know?
No, I can co-sign on that.
20 years. Thanks.
I've been living in 98 for a little while now. There's been a lot of anniversary albums that I've been talking to the artists about and just kind of considering where music was at that point. Obviously, you know, the sound of Metric does not sound very 1998, but, you know, when you look back, do you see yourself? Because a lot of artists, you sort of even subconsciously end up chasing the trend. That's just what's coming through the radio at you. When you look back, do you hear any of that? Do you hear 98 in your early years?
Yeah, I mean, we refer to it as the world before, and it's the world before the iPhone. Because we've, you know, there's been a lot of conversations, I'm sure, amongst your friends and listeners as well, of just like, the world's pretty intense right now. Let's take a look at why. And it can be like the internet, people like just shouting that and shaking their canes at the sky and saying like, the internet. To me, I don't think that that's really it. I think it's when we all got this like world in our pocket is when things kind of changed forever. To me, 98 or that era was, if you look at from a very dorky, forgive me, tech perspective, what was happening was suddenly all the recording technology was becoming available to the average person. This is sort of like the wave before everything got synthesized into our phones. But that's why you had such interesting artists as like Portishead and Massive Attack, and this sort of like, you know, bedroom rock, interesting electronic music sort of coming out of a different way of making records, people making records in a more intimate way. And that's definitely how Jimmy and I started out, with, you know, his early interest in engineering and producing. We could finally get our hands on some of this stuff, whereas up until that point, you had to be the Eagles to get into a recording studio, right? And so now we have a sort of our version of an Eagles level recording studio. But that era, if it signifies anything, to me, it's that. It's that it became, those things became accessible to people with something else to say, you know, different voices than big, like the big rock bands of the 80s and the sort of, boy, remember all the boy bands of the early 90s?
Oh, right.
I feel like the late 90s were really, some tools got handed to people, and then now we're in the, that was the world before.
Yeah. Well, let's go up to the world of present then, because again, you're going to be coming through here in Louisville. There's no new album to promote yet, but you keep talking about online that you are working on new music. I mean, so what's the update? How far along are you all?
The update is that we will be debuting for the first time in the United States of America a few songs from our new record, which is now finished, in Louisville. So it's our big reveal. The Underplay tiny club approach is the only way to do it. It's great to do it as part of a gathering. And that's what it's all about. The record's done, and we're just trying to keep it under wraps while sharing it with the people who want it and need it most. So I think a little club show will be a great first listen for some people. I hope that people come and check it out.
Well, while still keeping the mystique of the record, is there anything you can tell me about it? Like, you know, as far as styles or comparisons or whatever journalists try to dig for at this point in interviews?
I can tell you this with great happiness. There are guitars.
I'm sure that will make some fans very happy.
I think so. There's, you know, the guitars have had a hard run the last few years, and we're bringing them back. So I hope that there's some excitement around that. There is for me. Yeah. I was never a fan of the guitars leaving. You know, you roll with the times, but guitars, they're part of rock and roll.
Right.
I think I'm going to get a t-shirt that says that.
You know, you put out a solo record last year. I think it was your second one, and you were tackling some big things. And a lot of artists are trying to figure out how to filter that through their songwriting. I'll point to Statuette, you know, as one of those on the last record. Are you finding that that's also making its way into your music with this new Metric record?
For me, honestly, it's nothing's different. I'm the same as I've always been. I've always been tackling everything, much to my own exhaustion and challenging friends and listeners since as long as I can remember to take a look at the world around them and say, what the hell, and stand up for yourself, speak up for yourself, call out what you see. use your voice. So I'm the same as whatever it was, keep it on, keeping on. And I mean, the statuette, that timing was really weird. So there was a bit of a zeitgeist in the world on certain themes that to me and every woman that I've ever met, these things have been there forever. So it's just a matter of how you deal with them. Yeah, if anything, I wish that I could get these things out of my head. I'm not trying to put them into music. I wish the world was a different place and we could all talk about something else. But unfortunately, these things they rear their heads for a reason, right?
So right.
Here we are. Right?
Well, luckily, I have a lot of my favorite artists who are, you know, putting them into very interesting and very cool pieces of art, which I've always appreciated.
That's why we need art. This is the thing. I know. Like, I feel like we forget. Because we're also oversaturated, right, with, you know, quote unquote content. But the fact is, there are a lot of things in the world that are very hard to just talk about standing there in words. And that's why we have music and film and paintings and poetry. And there is a reason for art. It's not bourgeois. It's like there's stuff that's too complex that, you know, language doesn't do it. So I'm glad to hear that you appreciate it, because, you know, there has to be a function for the work that we do. And I think there is. I mean, there's a value other than, like, people try to get famous and, you know, Instagram. I love Instagram, but it's not the world. I was joking the other day that it's, like, it's its own sort of, like, district. It's like the Vatican. It's, like, its own planet or its own, you know, part of the world. You could be a country. You could get a passport. Because everything looks the same. But we can talk about this when I get to Louisville, right?
That's right. In the meantime, well, I am so excited to have you in Louisville and to hear these new songs and just to catch you in a club that size, because I know that's a really special thing.
Yay! Fun.
Emily, it was so great talking to you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week when you're in Louisville. Yeah.
Yeah, we're rehearsing as we speak. I'm heading back into the production rehearsals to bring all the new songs to Louisville. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Thanks,
man. Bye. All right. Take care. Bye. Thanks to Emily Haynes from Metric for giving me the call. Really looking forward to that new album. Hey, don't forget you can subscribe to Consequence of Sound's YouTube channel to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. If you're listening to the podcast, please do hit subscribe there. Give us a rating and a review, iTunes, Podchaser, or wherever you're listening from. And then head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.